Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about relationships, and we'd like to learn about difficulties in relationships. What do we do with them? How can we make the best out of them? Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, I think we all experienced this, that in the beginning of a relationship, everything seems fine and nice and harmonious, and at some point, something happens. Misunderstanding, someone has a bad mood, something happens, and suddenly we look at things very differently. Remoteness, rejection, bitterness, different feelings and emotions that pop up, and many times it seems out of the blue. Suddenly your spouse starts a quarrel when everything's actually fine. And different people give different kinds of advice of how to solve these things, and there are very different approaches. There are those that say that you have to talk about these things, otherwise it'll accumulate and eventually explode. Others say, no, you shouldn't. What's the most correct approach to cope with the different things that we go through in our relationships? And also we'd like to understand, why is it so? Even the best possible, most harmonious relationship, at some point, there'll come an explosion, something negative, that will destroy the harmony. Why do we expect for things to always be harmonious? We barely see peaceful families that live in harmony. And the problem is that it's something that we're not dealing with, we're not taking care of. In the past, people grew up in a certain village or in a cave, in a relatively closed place, without external influences. Usually the entire village were your relatives. And so everyone's growing up in the same things. For them, it was of the ordinary to be this way. And therefore, when a young man and a young woman come together in order to build a family, they know why, what, how, and all of the tiniest, smallest inclinations and habits, everything's clear. Instinctively, it's clear. You don't even have to talk about it. And therefore, so much so that they didn't even talk. The man was engaged in his things, the woman engaged in her things. They knew and understood what the other thinks. Whereas we, that are under the influence of the media and altogether, WhatsApp and who knows what else, in short, all of these things, what follows is that no one knows the other. Otherwise, we wouldn't need these means of communication that we're all the time occupied with. And therefore, there's a problem. The problem is that we have a lack of communication between us. We're very different. We all come from very different families. Even if they're similar, even if it's in the same city, the same area, it doesn't matter. Very different families. Every person is very different. There are many different influences over each and every one of us, and we absorb all of them differently. In short, when a young man and a woman want to come together and build a family, these are two very complicated systems. And the connection between them is also very complicated. So, what's going on? What do we do? If we were still living in a village, then we wouldn't need to do anything. Now that we don't live in a village, we have to see how do we prepare the young men and women to correctly connect with one another, for them to understand each other. They have to build a kind of buffer between them, a system that will tie them together, will connect them, And they don't know how to do it. How can they know what to do? They do what nature pushes them to do. But on the psychological level, on the personal level, as human beings, like a man and a woman, like a father and a mother around their baby, suppose, these are things that they have no tools. Yeah, not even the foundations for how to deal with these things. It's not like in the past where a teenage girl used to look at how the women take care of the children, and a teenage boy used to look at the fathers, how they all went to work in the field or fish or do something. Today you have no such thing. Today everyone is in a kind of an artificial area in society, and therefore the connection between them is very problematic. Therefore, once we started disconnecting from the villages and all of these limited areas, relatively closed already a few hundred years ago, and we moved to the city, and we even moved to a different country, then humanity didn't take care of this to prepare a couple how to be a family, how to build their relationship, how to build their relations. I think that until the end of the 19th century, it was more or less okay. But with the revolution that later came, the technological revolution, with people that moved to the United States and so on and so forth, then especially the problems began. And in Europe, today we're in a state where it's late already, but we have no choice. We have to, as quickly as possible, start educating young couples toward a mutual life, toward spousehood. Before we talk about this education, I want to understand the reason for which we feel hardships in our relationships. It's because of our differences and the lack of communication? No, it's because we don't understand each other. Even if we want to understand each other, we can't. We see that people get mad at each other because of lack of communication. It's not that they don't want to connect. They don't know how to. And why? Because we're very different. And you said that we're a complicated, complex system, each of us. Each of us has received many impressions from the outside. It's no longer him or her, but it's what they were inflated with by the media and by everything that's happening around them. And therefore, it's not that original person. And when they meet, then these systems, they're so complex, so confused, that they really have to go through a very non-simple method of education that's very useful, beneficial, that can really arrange them and help them reach some kind of agreement. You said that we can barely see peaceful, harmonious families. This is very true and very sad. The question is it something that we can't avoid in whatever relationship we're in, with our spouse, at home, at work? Do hardships have to necessarily appear in our relationships? Of course. Why? Because we're egoists. Each of us wants to control the other. Each of us looks at others through critical eyes because we're different. So if someone doesn't exactly fit my mood or the way I imagine things should be, then I'm on a path of collision with that person. Even though that maybe I'm not showing it, but for sure, that's how it is. And then all of these differences between us, they accumulate in each and every one of us. And after I accumulate them inside of me, I erupt, And really, when I do, it seems like, why is that happening to him? I didn't do anything to that person. Why is it happening? Because he was swallowing these differences for a long time. Is there a natural process that's going on here? For example, there are different researches about group dynamics, and there are very clear phases that a group goes through. At first, there is harmony, then come the hardships, and we learn how to overcome them. Is there something in nature that one way or another, even if we know each other and we have many similar things, still the hardships will appear? They have to, because we're developing. And the main thing, as I said, is that we are under a flood of information, impressions from the media. People write and write and write and show us on TV different movies and things that we become included of, whether we like it or not. It becomes ours. And that builds man, the way he looks at the world. And so what follows is that we're very different. And not only men and women, it could be between men and between women, at your workplace or in any other place, where we don't feel each other. Besides, the problem is that our world is becoming very complex. If I go to Europe or the United States or Canada, this is where I usually go. I see representatives of maybe 50 different nations of the world, and then everyone has a mentality of their own, a worldview of their own. So we're trying all the time not to touch each other, but that's also not communication. This isn't a normal life. It's a problem. And therefore, the education for connection between people has to already come into effect. But we don't see this happening neither at school or in any other place. And I think that this is something very important for everyone. You said that hardships, difficulties have to appear because we're developing. So in any relationship where there's more than one person, this dynamics will always lead them toward hardships. Yes, because we're egoists, our ego is all the time developing. As a result of our developing ego, we develop the reality around us, and we're all nourished by this environmental reality through each other. And what follows is that we're becoming more and more complex, different, each of us with their own opinion, what I absorb from my environment according to my character and you the way you do. So the gaps, the differences in the environment is much greater. Were you to tell someone 100 years ago that there is a small country that has 20 or 30 parties, he'd say, what 20, 30 parties? How is that possible? Today I have a new party for every new idea. So it's the lack of compatibility, it's what? That we're different. But being different isn't something bad. The problem is that we were never taught how to connect above it. I just wanted to ask, I got this mail from relationship coaches, and in this mail they promised to explain the true reason for why do, for example, my dates go wrong. I went on a date, everything seems great, we're expecting a pink future, and just when everything's great on that date, suddenly the other side invents some quarrel. Everything goes wrong, and I feel that the potential for this relationship is gone. And this is something that happens to many couples. So those coaches, they say that we will explain the real reason for which this happens, that we have this conditioning from childhood, that every good has a limit, that we can't really receive the ultimate good that we're expecting, and therefore subconsciously, once we feel good, subconsciously we'll create some kind of conflict in order to destroy it, to lower expectations, in order not to experience the disappointment. Do you agree with this approach? That we simply don't believe subconsciously that relationships could be that good, and this is why we hurt our relations. It depends who you're talking about. If you're talking about ordinary people of the street that were never taught what to do with their life and their selves and their relations and the family at work, wherever, then it doesn't matter whether they think one thing or another. I'm not even going into criticizing these opinions. But until we teach them, nothing's going to happen. But after you teach them, after they understand who is man, what could be the correct connection between them, they can reach a state where it will become obvious to them how to build the good and nice relations, and they will understand each other, one might say, always, depending on the level of their development and the level of their connection. So it's possible to reach a state of constant harmony in relationships. I am sure of it. It all depends, again, on how much you teach a person. Previously, we said that the problem is that we don't know how to connect above our differences and the incompatibility and so on, and because we're all egoists and we're developing, then the collisions all the time go and grow. You're saying that we'll encounter hardships and difficulties more and more, by the way. Okay, so my question is, are hardships a good thing for relationships? Yes. Why? Because they develop them. We can't remain in a place where she keeps playing with dolls and I keep playing with toy soldiers or with an elephant or a lion or whatever. We have to build a family. We have to build a home. Into our home, we also have to bring influences from the outside. We have to know how do we build and accept our nest. How do we relate to what's going outside of our home? If we'll know all of these things, then our relationship will not experience difficulties. We have to work at it all the time. All the time. As simple as that. We have to learn how to listen to each other without words. That sounds great. What is that? We don't have time for words. I like soccer. She has to do something in the kitchen, something with the kids, and I have to take care of my things. Usually a woman is always occupied, busy. So you have to try and think how the other side thinks. What opinion does the other side have about everything? How do they accept things? And to do the maximum I can to get pleasure from delighting the other side. This is something that you'll have to learn. Even if it's at the expense of my own opinion of what's good for me, if I enjoy conceding, then I derive pleasure from it. What do you do with all of these negative feelings that accumulate in a relationship? It's forbidden for them to accumulate. They have to talk a lot. And not just talk, but after they finish a good course in how to build relationships for young couples, then after that, they have to talk a lot. Talk about what? About what? To help the other to understand who I am, what do I like, without hiding anything. Anything. In a way that you really get to know each other. In everything. From the most bodily things to the most exalted matters. And then everyone will know how can he encourage the other. But if I tell someone about those things that, like you said, that I like, don't like, without hiding anything, completely open. So what follows is that I'm constantly kind of criticizing the other side. How? Because I'm telling that person things that I don't like. I don't like this, I don't like that. No, I'm telling that person what I myself like and don't like. What do you mean? I thought that regarding their attitude toward me. No. We don't criticize the other's attitude. By telling each other what we like, we build a good relationship. So what do we and what don't we do? Who tells who about what? Everyone tells about themselves what I like and what I don't like. Like and don't like regarding what? Doesn't matter, regarding everything. Also in my spouse? And my spouse, I wouldn't say that this is of the necessary. So, not about my spouse. No. So, in general, what I like and don't like, but not about her attitude. Not about our relations. And from this, each of us understands what pleasant things can I do for my partner, for my spouse. And what don't they like? They don't talk about the relationship itself. This is phase B or even C. Afterwards, they try to find, they talk about it. They try to find different mutual points in their worldview. It's okay if there is a difference in opinion. I'm a Republican, she's a Democrat. Doesn't matter. No problem. But these are things that we know. Meaning, I want to know who my spouse is. In everything. From this, we better and better understand each other. If this is the only thing that we talk about, not about our relations, our relationship, but only about what's around it, this already clears and cleans many of the points of friction that I don't like this, it makes me feel uncomfortable, this or that. All of these points disappear. And what we're really left with are personal, even intimate things. And these are things that we can talk about. It's not related or doesn't belong to anyone else in the world. This is between us. Is there something that we're forbidden to talk about? Yes. We're forbidden to talk about what I don't like in the other, because I have to reach a state where I like everything about the other because he or she are mine. Why? Because this is my spouse. This is my partner. So what I do with what seems negative or unpleasant in the other? Gradually, you overcome it, and you understand that you have to love that too. Experience shows that if you do sound these things, usually it doesn't end well. I'm not saying whether it ends well or not. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that this is how it has to be. That whatever exists in the other, and that person that I live with, I have to love everything about them. And if I don't, you have to work at it. What do you mean to work at it? How do I do it? As we said, love covers for all crimes. That means what? That whatever crime it might seem to me that exists in the other, by working on myself, I reach a state where I love it. What does it mean to work on myself? That I try to see only good things, and the things that seem to me, as bad things, because it's all in relation to me, according to what I identify. I don't see those things. But if I do see, and sometimes I even see it very conspicuously, and it stands in my way, then what, I have to work on myself? Yeah, you have a problem. Many people have this problem. What do we do about it? Work at it. How do you... No one is going to educate or change the other. This is on condition that it doesn't have to do with my taste in food, for example. But there can be the matter of habit. So I don't like salt like she does. So she drinks cappuccino instead of what I drink. These are things that you don't have to concede. Obviously, everyone has their own taste. But it also doesn't have to stand in the way of our relationship. In short, love covers for all crimes. It means that I love the other as is. Dr. Lightman, our time's up, but we still have many more questions. I just want to write this down. I love the other as is. This is the work that I have to do on myself. Yes, nothing else will help. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.